Okay, real quick before we start, this episode was recorded before the election. We have no idea what happened yet. In fact, I still don't as I'm recording this right now. So these are voices from the past. Also, as you'll hear, Oscar's connection is a little spotty in the beginning, but hang in because his power comes back on after just a few minutes.
And you're going to count me in, right? So you're going to go 3, 2, 1, and you're
okay.
On.
Is that what you need?
I would like that.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. This is Don't Ask
Hi.
Tig.
Hi.
Oh, Oscar.
Hi, Tig.
Is this your first time? Oscar, is this your first time on a podcast?
Yes.
This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro. And you're really steamrolling me here.
We are not alone and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah.
Today I'm joined by Oscar Nunez. A few people may have seen him on The Office. Oscar?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
You're in the middle of a power outage, and you had to call in on your telephone.
Yes, I did. And it was crazy. Because as Notaro said, the power is out here. We're up in the hills, and I think the wind knocked out the power. So we're running around. There's candles, and there's generators, and my wife left. So, but she'll be back.
Oh, my God. Your wife left you in the middle of it all?
In the middle. Yeah.
That's so sad. Do you still have time for the podcast?
Oh, nothing but time.
Okay. Well, this is an advice show. And I'm curious, Oscar, do you remember the time we saw each other at the airport and I went up to you and I said hi and you pulled your earbud out and said, oh my God, I'm listening to you right now on Jimmy Pardo's podcast? And then we walked on the plane and we were seated right next to each other.
Yes, that I believe it was Houston. What a treat. Yes, I do remember.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of cracked open our friendship more than ever.
That cracked it open. We sat next to each other. We flew. You're not a great flyer. I had a lot of fun. It was very funny and entertaining and delightful.
And then what happened?
The plane moves in subtle ways, even if there's no what do they call that, turbulence. A plane will dip and dive slowly, subtly, and you moved with the plane as if it was choreography. Most people just sit there. Your shoulders and your head moved. You dipped and rose in some sort of slow choreographed movement dance with the plane, and I was very aware of it. Also, your fingers were digging into my arm.
Yeah.
Whole time, and nodding in a light way. It was a very authoritative.
It was a bloody mess.
I almost said, hey, it's a little too, but I didn't. I'm like, she's not a great flyer. She's doing great. And we'll get through this.
And I never got used to it.
You know, as I get older, I'm getting worse at flying.
And you are getting older.
The word on the street. Yeah.
Now, you know what else is word on the street? That before acting, you were a certified dental technician. Is this true?
Yes, it's true.
After all these years, you didn't tell me that? I could have avoided the dentist, saved me some cash.
Oh, Tig, it was so many things. And you know, I was a certified dental technician. The title has not been taken away from me. I can still do it, but I'm not allowed to touch people's mouths. That's the dentist. I made false teeth and bridges away in a laboratory far away from patients. But I only did that for about half a year. I was really bad at it.
But if you were really quarantined with your family for 5 years, you couldn't go anywhere. Do you feel like you have enough knowledge where you could, you know, pick away at
Yes.
their plaque? You could do it.
Yes, I could do it, and I would need a supervision. They would come and say you did it, but it was done horribly, and let's try to rectify. But I would give it a shot. Yes, I'm yes. My mom was a dentist, Tig, so I'm not afraid of a plaque or a floss or, you know, cavities, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Oscar, you're aware that people are utterly obsessed with The Office, and a lot of people say they find it very comforting to watch. What do you have a go-to that you watch when you need comfort?
I watch anything with David Attenborough. There's a show called Tiny World now. I like shows of travel, and I like when people go visit old homes or old mansions or estates in Ireland or England or gardens. Hey, you guys, guess what? The power just came back on.
No way.
Yeah.
Should we have you call in on Zoom, or do we not trust your capabilities there?
I'm going to go over to the computer and see. Let's see if my internet is up and running. Hello? Connecting to what? Oh, there you are. I see you.
I'm going to turn off the phone now. I had to turn it off completely because I couldn't. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Hi, Tig.
Hi, Oscar. Isn't that such a better feeling?
Oh, so much better. I'd love to start all over, but I know we got gold. So let's not get rid of what we have.
Yeah, we want to hang on to all this. Oscar, you've joined us with Zoom. I can see your face. You look like you did pre-pandemic. All right, here we go. Oscar, the people have questions. They tune into this show because they have questions. They're coming to me for help. And I brought you in to help me help them. I hope you have the answers, Oscar. The first question...
No pressure. Go ahead.
...is about hair. Question one.
The answer is 17.
All right. Question one. German writes, I am a 43-year-old man who is fortunate enough to have a head of thick, curly hair. I've been working from home since March and have not cut my hair due to the pandemic. My wife thinks it looks great, but in my daily video meetings, my coworkers and clients can't help but to start by commenting on my hair. It feels like they're suggesting that it's unprofessional. What can I say to shut down their comments on my appearance, which seems inappropriate for the workplace? What does German do?
His name is German?
Yeah.
German, you know what's going to happen because this happened several times. So you know the situation. So prepare yourself. As soon as the meeting starts, before they can say anything about your hair or how you look, preempt it with a comment to them. Compliment them before they say anything. Say, oh, are those new glasses? Or, oh, and then tie it into the pandemic subtly. Or those new glasses, I guess you're wearing them to shake things up in the pandemic, whatever. And then they will hesitate and go, oh, my God, I was just going to critique German. But maybe he's growing his hair out to help him get through the pandemic somehow. Let me not say anything about that. Let him grow his golden locks of hair and let me not critique him. So compliment them before they can put you down.
Like, let's say there's 10 people in German's, conference call. Does German make his way around the room and say, well, what a lovely bow tie. Oh, I love your glasses. Where did you get those? Who does your hair? Look at that shirt.
They are waiting to take their turn and take their stab at him. So you did it beautifully, Tig. That's because you've had training. Mm-hmm. If I were coming on and then a Tig Notaro was sitting there and I'm him and I'm just, I'll be him. And I'm just sitting here like ready. Hey, we're going to start the meeting. First thing I say is, Tig, I haven't seen that green handkerchief before. What's going on with that? That looks beautiful. Anyway, and that's it. Now you're like, oh, I can't say anything about his hair. I'll feel horrible because he just complimented me on my handkerchief.
That's a really good idea. Because I did, when you just said, even though I know you don't think my green handkerchief around my neck is beautiful, I did kind of feel a moment of, oh, thank you. You know, and so I'm not going to say anything about your hair.
That's right. And I think that's all he could do, Tig. I don't know what else he could do. And we don't know if he has an afro, if he has a perm. If it's, we don't know what he's looking like or what he might have gone from crew cut to shoulder length hair. That'll throw anyone off.
Yeah, it seems odd that during a pandemic that people would be judgmental about hair. You know, it feels like you got to be a little, you got to give people a little leeway here because
they could be jealous of German's hair. I
didn't
want to say
it. Jealous.
I didn't want to say it. You started and I'm just probing gently.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
German, I hope that helps. I
don't think it does, but thank you for writing in, German. Maybe send us a picture so we can look at this hair of yours. More
does
questions after the break.
Okay.
Yeah, has to. Yeah, send it in. Address to Oscar's house. We'll have the address online.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science passes. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
And we're back.
We are back in. Our next question comes from Elisa. Question two, Elisa writes, how much should I be concerned with a potential partner's precarious financial status? I'm a teacher, so I have a stable living wage, but not a lot of disposable income. Is it more important to find someone who makes you happy, or will the strain of a tight budget be the end of us?
What's her name? Who is it?
It's Elisa.
Elisa, stop dating musicians. What are you doing? Find a gal or a fella that has a regular job. Stop dating these poets and artists, and they have great personalities. But right, Tig?
You think Elisa's for sure? Well, probably as a teacher, she's probably drawn to a poet.
She's drawn to the bad gal or the bad guy.
Or maybe it's a good gal or a good guy, but just a poet that's not bringing in the hardcore cash that Elisa wants.
I'm speaking to her as a parent, not a friend. If I'm a friend, I'm like, yeah, go get your, I don't know what the kids are saying nowadays. Go get your rocks off. That was when I grew up. They said, go get your rocks off and go have fun.
Yeah.
But as a parent, I'm saying, hey, let's look out for the future. Do we want you coming back home and living with us? I don't think so.
You're going to kick your little girl, Elisa, out on the streets, Papa Oscar?
How many times must I take her in before I do say no more, no more? Please, please let us be.
She's 67. That's the other thing I didn't mention. She's 67 years old.
She'll always be my daughter, no matter how old she is. And you
know
that.
She's not really 67. But I want to ask you, Oscar, do you think that you could be happy on a tight budget with somebody, or would you have the constant stress of money?
I am and was a jerk, and I knew better, and I'm like, I shouldn't be going on a date. I'm flat broke. But I would go out. I would go on a date and be flat broke and be like, charming. That only goes so far. If you reach an age where they're like, enough already, we please pay for the bill and you know, and be grown up.
So you would just take people out on your charm? For years, and then people were demanding cash?
A little bit. I might have done that a little bit. Yeah. I wanted to go out. I wanted to go out, Tig. I wanted to go out and have a good time.
Well, of course, we all do. I kind of fantasize. Stephanie and I talk a lot about, well, I guess we don't talk a lot about it, but we have these conversations about what if you weren't doing what you wanted to do, which is what we are doing, what job would you do? And could we live like that? And I kind of always a little bit fantasize about, I would like, and I've done this job before, but deliver pizza. I think it's a great job. You get to smell pizza in your car. You don't have to be in an office or staying at a job. You get to go in your car, listen to your music, smell pizza, and then you deliver it and you get cash in your hand. And then Stephanie wants to work at a flower shop.
You know what I used to do, Tig? People would hire me, God bless them, because I would have really good interviews and I would be really charming and I'm smart. And then after 2 or 3 weeks working, whatever job, they'd go, all he could do is be funny and make us laugh. He really is horrible at what he's supposed to be doing. And they're like,
that happened to me all the time.
And they're like, we have to let you go. And I'm like, I know, sorry. And I'd go on to my next job and the same thing would happen. Oh, he's going to do good here. And I'd plateau in 2 weeks. And they're like, we have to do the job you're doing. We have to go over it because you're horrible at it. And I'm like, I know. But last night I had a dream and this happened. And they're like, Mr. Nunez, we think you're great, but we have to let you go. And that happened 57 times before I.
Until you landed the office. that's my situation. All right, Elisa, good luck and thanks for writing. Oscar, the next question is about celebrating a slow and steady worker. Question 3. Fiona writes, I am very close to finishing my dissertation that I've been working on for 4 years. In my field, 1 or 2 years is the norm to write a dissertation. How do I feel proud of myself and not like a loser for taking so long? Did you go to college, Oscar?
School of Hard Knocks.
That must have been tough.
It was very expensive. It's a finishing school in the foothills in Geneva, a private finishing school because I had a week. People couldn't hear when I rapped on the door. So I had to go to the School of Hard Knocks. No, I went to...
Oscar, you've said that joke before.
I first time saying it out loud.
Every time you've been on a podcast, that's your go-to joke, is it not?
It is now. It is now. Fiona. Fiona doesn't want to know if I went to college. I did not. I went to FIT, left after the first semester. Then I went to...
What is FIT?
Fashion Institute of Technology.
Oh, okay.
I want to be a fashion designer.
That explains... you wanted to?
Yes, out of high school.
And a dentist?
That came after.
I'm all over the place.
It's all over the place. Maybe this helps. Fiona, I've had many jobs like that. I've had many questionable.
Right, but she's saying it took her 4 years to finish her dissertation when most people take 1 to 2. And my point is, you finished it. Or you've been working on it. You're still working on it for 4 years. So what? So what, Fiona?
And also, don't worry about the time that you're spending on it. Enjoy the time you're spending on it because it's just time. You're going to be doing something. Fiona, if I know you, you're either going to be writing your dissertation, you're going to be down shooting pool on the corner with your buddies at the pool hall, wasting time.
Yeah, and if anyone knows Fiona, it's Oscar, you know? I think Oscar knows.
Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey. Be proud of yourself for putting yourself out there to learn and complete something like this.
Absolutely.
And it's nobody's business. You get where you're going in your own time and your own way. So, Fiona, I'd normally say go out and celebrate yourself, but instead stay in and celebrate safely. This is our final question coming up here. It's from Missy. Missy asks, my boyfriend sometimes gets drunk and goes on and on about how much he loves me, and he has never said any of these things sober. Do you believe in the saying, drunken minds speak sober thoughts? I'm inclined to only truly believe the things he says if he says them sober. What do you think?
Well, first of all, he sounds like a winner. Missy, good for you.
Oscar.
I
Oscar.
Missy.
Missy loves this man.
Huh?
And she's probably a little sad. She's probably a little sad because, you know what? I've had somebody do that where they had a few too many cocktails and I was the love of their life. And I might have believed it for half a second. And then I caught on and I started to think, hey boy, there's been some cocktails consumed. And you wait it out. But it depends on what you want. This is your boyfriend. This isn't your spouse. If it was your spouse, I would be more concerned. Although I am still concerned because Missy, you deserve to be loved sober and crunk. Okay.
Yeah. And I look, I'm paid to, that's why Tig brought me on the show to enliven you. And make it funny and lively. That's why. But all seriousness, Missy, I do believe he loves you. And it's sad that he can only say it drunk. And so there's the problem. And Missy, I think that I would like for him to say, I love you sober.
Well, of course, we all want that, Oscar. She's asking for advice. Does he really love her? What does she do? I feel like
you make a cocktail, she should. You make a cocktail. I'm going to say what you're going to say. You make a cocktail and you hold it back and you say, do you love me? Sober. Now, you get the drink when you answer me. What else can you, is that, were you going to say that?
Well, I was going to say something similar, but not as cartoon version of that.
Like okay. What?
I was going to say maybe the next day when he's sobered up, you could say, how do you feel about me? I noticed that it feels like at nighttime, you seem crazy about me. You know, just don't even mention the alcohol.
This is making me sad because she has to do that. And I don't know what the answer is going to be because.
But here's the thing. What my therapist has told me, which has really helped me in life, is if you're ready to ask the question, you're ready to hear the answer. And I think that really applies here.
I love that.
Because there's a lot of things in life where you can just kind of ignore things and you can make up your own answer to what's happening. But it's tricky when you have to really confront something and you really ask the question.
You're ready. You're ready to ask him.
Or are you?
Huh?
If you're not ready, then you're not ready to hear the answer.
Well, I think she is because she reached out to you and, you know.
Right, but why the hell is she reaching out to me?
Because you've been on the air since 1962, and
because I've been on Star Trek,
and you've been
since 1962.
People tune into Star Trek, and
I was not on the original Star Trek series.
Tune into your radio show to find out what advice you have to give them. We helped German, we helped Fiona, and damn it, we're going to help Missy.
Missy, best of luck, and we hope you can have a sober conversation with your boyfriend. Oscar, I need your help with this. This is a huge responsibility. This is the biggest thing we've ever done on this show, okay? This is the segment called
Name That Thing.
This is Name That Thing. People write in to ask for help naming things. Cheryl Hines and I named a dog, but you and I are about to name a human being. Are you ready, Oscar?
Okay.
Wendy writes, my partner and I have a 2-year-old named Jack. I'm currently pregnant with our second child, and the sex of the new baby is male. What should we name the new kid? We're drawing a blank. Jack's only suggestions are no or truck. And first of all, I'm inclined to say, who cares what the sex is? Who cares that this is male?
Yeah.
You know, I say toss that out the window, Wendy. So Jack is the 2-year-old. And
he's
then
gonna
they
have a brother.
He's gonna have a sibling. So this is just a person coming into the world. Maybe why don't we go on the old Johnny Cash song? A boy named Sue. If we're going to get tied up on gender.
Okay.
How about Jack and Sue?
Jack and Sue.
Those are your kids. You know that Johnny Cash song?
Yeah.
How about that?
Okay. Sue is a choice.
You don't sound sold on it. What's your idea? You know what we named somebody's dog? We named somebody's dog after Cheryl's sister. We named the dog Dr. Becky Hines.
That's good. I like that name for a dog.
It's so good.
It's good. It's a good name. I
bet there's several listeners that named their animals Dr.
Becky Hines. I had a dog, Mr. Holmes, named after Sherlock Holmes when mm-hmm. I was little. We have a dog now, Izzy. Mm-hmm. My daughter's August. We don't know their last name. We don't know this couple's last name.
We barely know anything about them. They have a baby on the way, and their two-year-old's trying to name the baby No and Truck.
Can we combine No and Truck? I was trying to think of something like that, but it doesn't work.
How about Tuck? Tucker.
Tucker?
Tucker.
Sounds like Trucker.
Tucker's a good name.
Tucker's not bad, Tig. Tucker's not bad.
Tucker's really good. It's not everyone's named Tucker. Jack and Tucker. Like it. They're going to name it Tucker.
Tucker's not bad.
I can tell. If you name a kid Jack, you're open to Tucker. Yeah, so Jack and Tuck. Jack and Tucker. I think it's awesome.
Tucker's awesome.
I can't wait to meet these kids. All right, Wendy, our work here is done. Your child will be named Tucker. This is non-negotiable. Thanks for asking us to name that thing. And if you're listening and need something named, let us know at don'tasktig.org. Thanks for coming, Oscar. Thanks for dealing with your power outage, your wife leaving you right in the middle of the show. Do you have anything other than office repeats that you'd like to promote? Because I know that you love promoting reruns of the Oscar.
Well,
you love promoting reruns of The Office.
We've been through a lot. It's been a roller coaster. We started out just on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the show started and I wasn't aware of it. Then I needed a countdown to get in it. And then this came up and now I'm recapping everything.
Wait, you're not going to recap the entire episode, are you?
I was, but not if you're stopping me, I'll stop right now. But
no, yeah, I don't have, I have to have dinner with my family. I have to.
And when the thing is over, come back up here to the house. We're still in the same place. Just follow the road and make a left at the oak tree. Come on up.
No, I know. I know exactly how to.
But listen,
and when the thing is over, you should head down the mountain and just go down the road and then take a left and then a right and then just come into our backyard. We could do a distant social hang.
Oh, I'm on something on Netflix called Social Distance, I think. And on Wednesdays, I will go to Venice Beach and do a shadow puppetry. It's a free event. A free event.
Any Wednesday you're there?
In Venice Beach. Look for the
every
crowns.
Wednesday you're doing
every Wednesday,
shadow
puppetry at Venice. Yes.
Well, good for you. I have a podcast aside from Don't Ask Tig. I also have Tig and Cheryl True Story, where Cheryl Hines and I talk about a new documentary every week. As far as Don't Ask Tig goes, send in your questions to don'tasktig.org and we might try to answer them on a future episode. Or we have a brand new option to send questions. You can call me now, 833-ASK-TIG-4. That's 833-275-8444. Leave me a voicemail. Again, don'tasktig.org to reach us with your questions. Thanks for listening. Oscar, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Tig.
Love you dearly.
Love you back.
Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D, engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani, digital production by Christina Lopez, talent booking by Marianne Ways, production assistance by Nancy Hsu. Our theme music is Friend in Tig by Edie Brickell and Kyle Crusham, and Listen to Your Heart by Edie Brickell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. You can always ask for advice at don'asktig.org. Just write in with your problem or send us a voice memo. You can also follow us on social media at Don't Ask Tig. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And as always, thanks, Dana. And I'll tell Becky.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.